that the Lord looks upon as he looks and evaluates the spirit of man. We're starting a message and series on Proverbs. We've been asked to read it. But the point of it is I'm going to cover Proverbs by using different subject matters and combining them together out of the book of Proverbs as they are presented. So this morning, I want to take this theme, this idea of the inner man. Because in the Bible, in Proverbs, Psalms, and many other books of the Bible talks about the heart of man. You see, the heart in Scripture, if you were to take it all in obvious context, it says the heart is able to think, to believe, to trust, to love, to hate, to envy, to plan and act, to become hard, callous, and bitter. So as you consider the abilities of the heart, you can see it's very evident, if you will, that the writers meant the heart refers to the whole man. The inner man, reason, will, mind, emotions are all involved in the aspect of studying and understanding what the Bible talks about when it refers to the heart of man. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psychologically, the heart seems to be identified in Scripture with the intelligence, for its reasoning. You know, God said, come, let us reason together. Reflecting, understanding. It also has and refers to the emotions, like loving, fearing, and hating. But it also makes reference to the will of man. The heart is accepting or rejecting that which is offered, planning and carrying out the decisions of one's heart and what they have made, those decisions. And in truth, the heart, if you understand it correctly, is the whole inner man. The whole inner man. The real person, if you will. You. Psychologists want to call it the id, the personality, however you may want to consider it. But God looks upon the spirit of man and he sees the inner light of man. He looks upon the heart. God doesn't look upon the outward appearance of man. He looks upon the heart. So when you think of the aspect of what kind of heart one might have, you could say that they can have a kind heart, a hateful heart, a cheerful heart, a sad heart, a righteous heart, or a wicked heart. All of those could be, indeed, identifying what type of heart a person may have. But in Proverbs chapter 4, the writer, Solomon, says in verse 23, watch over your heart. In other words, in the King James, guard your heart. Watch over it. Guard it. Why? With all diligence. In other words, with every ounce of energy you have within you, you need to be watching and guarding your heart, because from it flows the springs of life. From the heart, everything comes and flows from it. So you might ask, how about your heart? Is it right with God? That's a good question, isn't it? So as you're to watch over your heart, you're to guide it, guard it, and you're to guard it with diligence. That means with everything that is within you, you need to guard your heart. Because the importance of the heart in God's word, in the inner man, is declared to be the fountain of life. Out of the heart flows all the issues of life. The source of all conduct. With the heart, man loves or he rejects God. With the heart, he plans evil or he shows mercy. Cultivating the good intentions of the heart, one becomes a noble person. Or by the hardening of one's heart, as Pharaoh did, he can indeed become harmful not only to himself, but to those to whom he influences. You see, the motives of the heart can be pride, can it? It can be pride, it can be arrogance, or it can be justice. It can be love, or it can be pity. It can be hatred or rebellion. All these comes from a good heart or an evil heart, according to God's word. This timeless truth is expressed, I believe, all through Proverbs. And as you read it, which I hope you will, I want you to see how many times Proverbs refers to the heart and the importance of your heart. Because out of your heart flows and comes all of the issues of life. You are nothing more than what your heart is. As a man thinks, Proverbs says, in his heart, so is he. So is he, okay? Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus, I believe, basically puts it all in a nutshell and says what I've been trying to say here about the heart. Matthew 15, 18 and 20. Jesus said, but the things that proceed from the mouth comes from the heart. And these defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murderers, adulteresses, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanderers. These things which defile a man, where do they come from? From the heart. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. And Christ quoted Isaiah, if you will, in Matthew 15 and 8, and Jesus saying these words, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can honor me with your lips, but your heart isn't with me. It's far from me, okay? Proverbs 6, verse 18 says and states that God hates, and he hates seven things there, if you've read Proverbs. There are seven things God hates, but one of them is a heart that devises wicked plans. God hates it. God hates it. So I guess we can say there are two kinds of hearts, right? A good heart or an evil heart. Those are only two aspects that a person, a man, a woman can have. You can either got a good heart or you got an evil heart. And out of that heart is flowing all the issues of your life, whatever they might be. So Jesus says in Matthew 7:18, he gives an analogy. He's talking about a tree. And Jesus uses this analogy. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Matthew 7:18. A good tree can't bring forth evil, and an evil tree can't bring forth good. All right? So it makes it very clear. There's either a good heart, a good tree is your life, or an evil tree, whatever there might be in reference to our personal lives. But he gave us a measuring rod that I believe we all need to write and inscribe into our hearts in verse 20 of chapter 7. By their fruits, you will know them. By the fruits, every one of us shall be known, whether we're a good tree or a bad one. Okay? So Proverbs, I believe, calls us to the very center of every aspect of what the book. My theme of life is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I believe I make reference to this to my daughter all the time. I really reference to this whenever I'm talking to any of my grandchildren. I make reference when I'm talking to anyone I can, because this, to me, is the fountain of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will guide, direct your path. Isn't that it? Huh? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I stopped a long time ago trying to figure out why people do what they do. I stopped trying to understand the aspects of life. I just simply know today that I have no control over most of anything except my own heart. And therefore, my understanding is based only upon that element that I have revealed to me here. I don't try to understand why we have governments and all the aspects of it. I cannot explain. The only thing I know is that it is evil coming from a good heart or it's coming from an evil heart, and there is no between heart, okay? And I acknowledge God. You have to acknowledge Him. You have to give God the glory in every aspect of your being, because you know as well as I do, there's a way, Proverbs says, five times that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death or destruction or so on. So I don't want me to be leading my path. I want God to be in control of my future. Amen? That is the secret, people. And the theme of Proverbs, as it advises us in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. And that's what the whole book is about. Solomon is writing to his sons, trying to open up their minds to being able to have and seek the wisdom that God gives. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. And the more we see the lack of fear of God in our society, the more we see what? Foolishness. Lack of common sense. The inability for people's hearts to be good and make good decisions in life. And on it goes. Because Proverbs pleads with us all through it to seek God's will. That's what it's crying out to these young men. Seek the wisdom from God. Seek His knowledge. Seek it. Seek it and desire it. I mean, Hebrews says without faith it's impossible to please God. But they that seek Him and believe that He is, God will reward them for the process. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stirs up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in their integrity. I want God's wisdom. And I believe it's essential for me to be a man of integrity. In order for God to give me the wisdom and the knowledge of Him, I have got to have a desire for Him more than anything else. In the first third portions of Proverbs, countless blessings are promised to those who will walk in the will of God. Do you know that? Have you read it? Have you seen all of the promises of God that is given in the first third portion of Proverbs to those who will seek Him, fear Him, seek His wisdom, seek His knowledge? I mean, it is filled with promises from God, and we'll touch some of them later. But what does it promise? It promises peace, promises love and favor, promises length of days, promises an honorable name, great abundance and glory to be placed upon that person. But also it makes it very clear all through Proverbs what is going to happen to the wicked and God's wrath and God's judgment as it comes upon them. Psalms makes it very plain, if you will, that the wicked are like chaff blown about by the winds. And in that context of Scripture, all through Proverbs, it just simply says, your sins will find you out. But I guess it's said that way in the book of Hebrews, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's not surprising, then, to find man's heart is what God judges, right? Proverbs 15:11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of men. Proverbs 15:11, they're open before God. How about your heart? You think God doesn't see your heart? He knows your heart. He knows my heart. God looks upon the intent and the aspects of our heart. In Proverbs 17:3, it says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The Lord tests the heart. Think about it when He selected David. What did God say? You all know what He said. The youngest of all those brothers. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And that's how David became the second king of Israel. God sees the heart. God sees it. But also, as you know that fact, and you'll see there's other aspects of it in Proverbs, man's self-knowledge. I want to sell you something today, and I know you know these verses. Maybe you don't, but I think it's important. Because Proverbs gives views of one's heart and its effect on one's feelings and their emotions. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. What does anxiety do? It weighs down the heart. Have you noticed how many younger men are having heart attacks today? You know what the average age of a man today that has a death occurring heart attack is? Anybody? 38 years of age. You know what Jesus said in Luke 21, that in this last time, because of fear of what's coming upon the earth, man's heart will be failing them. Anxiety. Isn't that amazing? How it weighs and puts burdens upon the heart of an individual. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said, what did he say? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. Now what he said, he invites us, and I'll bear your burden with you. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. You know how many people today are on nerve pills? You know how people today are living on all types of pills just to get them to sleep at night because of anxiety? 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 And yet Jesus said, God said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. You don't find that in the Old Testament. You find that in Jesus. You find that in Christ. You find that hope of Him bearing all the anxieties of life. Because we know that God is capable in bringing every aspect of our life together. Proverbs 12:25. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desires fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. Think about it. You've been hoping for that raise and you don't get it. You've been hoping for that promotion and it doesn't come. You've been hoping that the doctor's diagnosis, and once it's all over, it's going to show you that everything's okay. But he tells you it's not. It's not. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We all deal with that, don't we? Don't we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. Think of all the emotions here. All the aspects of what God is telling us about the heart. How important is it for you and me to guard our hearts? Knowing that out of it comes all the issues of these emotions. Fear and anxiety and stress and all these things that you and I deal with. And aspects of it. And a sick heart, as it is expressed here. You see, a burdened heart can be evident and will be evident in anybody. I don't care. Attitude. It'll be evident in their behavior. The heaviness of heart will result in guilt and could be from rejection. It could be from failures and personal problems. King James says and uses, makes the heart stoop, which is nothing more than depression. That's what it is. Isn't that amazing? God's Word deals with all the emotions, feelings, and all the things we have to deal with, doesn't it? And Proverbs looks at every one of them and the aspects of it. But note, a good word can gladden the heart. One good word can gladden the heart. Let me suggest that one good word you should never say is, I know what you're going through. Never tell another person that you know what they're going through or that you have gone through it and experienced it. People, please, every situation of every person is different than what you went through. I hope that God will get that to our heads. I've been standing at funerals along the side of loved ones and have somebody come up to the person who just lost a loved one and says, well, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you do not know what they are going through. They don't need to hear you say that. They need to hear words that are going to fill them with courage and faith and the aspects of God's presence and all these things that are such a part of your faith and my faith. And they need to be and have a word of praise. They need a word of confidence. They need a word of promise that something better is yet to come. They need something that's going to brighten their day. Not put something in their hearts that they're going to wrestle with, because I know I've had and sat with a lot of people and said one of the worst things that they have had to deal with is somebody saying to them, well, I know what you're going through. My daughter's right there. None of you know what my daughter is going through. I don't care what you have gone through in life. You have not gone through what she has. Nobody here has experienced what she's experienced, and nobody here can really comprehend or understand. But what can we do? God does. And God can strengthen her, and God can work with her, and God can shed light upon her, and God can be with her past and tomorrow. I just, if you haven't noticed yet, I'm just saying to you, and I fill my texts with God give you a God-filled day. That's the best thing I can say to anybody. Just God give you a God-filled day. What do we need to see? We need to see God. Don't we? And if God loves me, you know love is a verb. My Bible says love not in word, but in deed. You know what that means then? God has got to be demonstrating His love to me somehow through people, events, or circumstances. God's got to prove and substantiate His agape love. It isn't just a word, it's action. God has got to put His love in action for me to see it. You know that? Huh? You understand what I said? You know? God doesn't wind this world up like an alarm clock waiting for it to go off. God wants to work all things together for good in every one of our lives if we love Him and seek His purpose. Man, that's what people need to hear. In Proverbs 13:19, it states, desire realized is sweet to the soul. You know as well as I, there's nothing greater for a man in the joy of accomplishment. When God got done creating the earth, and on the seventh day He rested, but when He looked at what He had done, what did He say? It is good. It is good. When He made man, He said, it is very good. God took pride in what He had done. And you and I know that the fruit of our labor needs to be seen. And if it's not, if we don't see the fulfillment of our accomplishments in life, it can become so burdensome and so intolerable, etc. And that's why a lot of men have trouble working in a factory. Because what do you see? Paycheck? And that's about it, isn't it? How do you think Dave sees and feels, or Lloyd, or anyone who takes the works of their hands and does something magnificent, and then you receive it as a blessing, how do you think they feel? How do you think Ruth feels when she darns and nets and crochets and gives what she gives to other people? How do you think Dina feels when she gives you a little cross marker that she's worked in her hands and gives to somebody else? That's the fruit of her hands, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it? That is. So we need to be sure that what we're doing and what we are doing in our life and coming from our heart is going to make a difference in somebody else's life. I know we're busy. I know we're busy. But people, we need to know the fruit of our labor. And our fruit of our labor will come only when we know that it's making a difference in somebody else's life. Lastly, the cheerful heart. Let's take a look at it. Very quickly, Proverbs 15:13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. Okay? A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. How do you like that one? It's good medicine. Quite a contrast between the Proverbs that refer to the heart and its burdens and all that, and now we're looking at a joyful heart. How many sermons, how many books have you read on how important it is to maintain a happy attitude towards life and how a rich and what a wonderful medicine is to the heart, especially emotionally in every aspect? Having a cheerful heart brightens the day, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah, doesn't it? Well, it also brightens the day as other people. You know, I've often wondered, am I a burden people would like to bury? Or am I someone when I walk into a room, they're happy to see me because I'm going to brighten it up? Makes a difference, you know? But you know what? My heart makes a choice whether or not I'm going to be sad or glad. You know that? Huh? I make a choice whether or not I'm going to cast all my cares and my anxieties upon God and let Him take care of it. Or not. Don't I? And is not God, isn't it? If you read the scriptures in Hebrews 13, he says, you know, cast all your cares, your anxieties upon Him because I care for you. Therefore, I can say that God is my helper. God is my helper. And I can cast on Him all of my cares and all my needs because He's there for me to help me. How many sermons have you heard on that? I've heard a lot of them. And who doesn't enjoy laughter more than sarcasm or ridicule or negativeness or whatever? Who doesn't? Now, you want me to tell you a joke, don't you? I thought I'd bring a smile, but I'm not going to. I got to go on. Many a strong, capable, healthy person has been put to shame, if you will, by a cheerfulness of an invalid, by the cheerfulness of a handicapped person, whatever. I knew a young lady named Jennifer, and Jennifer's whole body was twisted, and her hands were twisted and useless. She could not walk. Her fingers were almost and completely deformed. But she had a great mind and a wonderful heart. She was a joy to be around. She graduated from high school, went to college, and she published the book, Verses on the Subject Matter of the Delight of Life, which has sold right now, from what I understand, over 3 million of those books have been sold, enlightening the hearts of thousands upon thousands of people. Not one time does she show any discontent. Does she ever complain? Does she ever find fault? Does she ever blame God? Does she ever blame anyone? No, Jennifer continually writes in her book the joy that gets her through every day of her life. I think we can learn from that. Mark Twain was a humorist. Told a lot of stories, you know. Mark Twain made a lot of people laugh. But nobody knew that Mark Twain was one of the most depressed earth individuals that was walking on the face of the earth. And while thousands were laughing, he felt miserable, depressed, filled with hate and fear in his life. Because he couldn't accept the evilness and the greed of man. It ate at him, and it ate at him. But nobody would know that Mark Twain was that individual, that inside in his heart, he was totally depressed about life. And yet he made thousands of people laugh. Think about it. Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a cheerful heart has a continuous feast. You know what that means? That means every day you set your own table. You set your own table. If every day one has a continuous feast, what did you put on your table this morning? What did you eat? What is that? What you have eaten? That is determining how you feel right now and your emotions and your relationship with God. You understand what he's saying? He says that a cheerful heart has a continuous feast. That means I have a determination of what is going to be on my table and how and what I'm going to eat of every day. Every day. So don't blame anybody else if you feel miserable today. Look at your own heart. And what is it you place on your table every morning when you get up and you eat from it? That makes sense? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So Proverbs says a lot about the heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And it's amazing to me that you and I have a very strong determinant factor of what we do with our hearts. Guard it. Guard it from thoughts that are negative. Guard it from that. You know, Philippians, Paul says, whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely, whatsoever things have any virtue, any praise, and of good report, let your mind dwell on those things. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. And if you think you are a depressed person, you're going to be depressed. You know? It can. It really can. I know my wife has to put a handle on me every once in a while because she has a hard time handling me. But I wish some of you could really see my wife in action. Because she has an other part of her most of you never see. And that's okay. Because she's a very cheerful woman. She's a very, very caring woman. I never had my life, before God, have ever heard my wife complain or say anything negative about anybody. Period. Never. Never. And I believe that's why her heart is good in that aspect of it. God help us to have a good heart. A heart that is filled with His love and His peace and His joy, and that we can share it with one another. That we can be joyful in His presence and fill one another with that same joy. Isn't that joy right there? Huh? She's smiling at me. She got a big smile. Yes, she do. Now, how can you not look at a baby and see her smile like that and be filled with the joy? She had no idea what it means to be an adult. I wish to God we could be like little children. Oh, wait, that's what Jesus said. Okay? God bless you. Have a great day. If you don't, we will not meet tonight. Okay? I'm still not well. I promised God I'd make it through this morning. And I had little chills once in a while, and I don't want to give this to anybody. Honest, don't. And I'm weaker than a weaker. But I got through it, didn't I? And God knows that my heart is in it. I hope you know that. And I just pray He'll bless you with a good heart and that you'll continue to seek His heart and allow it to be your heart. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll sing our closing prayer. And then afterwards, I want you to just be seated a minute because we're going to take up a quick offering for Whitefields. Last year, they baptized 2,108 precious people into the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they also have all these orphans that they're taking care of. And what our offering's going to go to is buying Bibles and dresses and helping to maintain, take care of the orphans, okay? Father and God, I thank You for Your heart. I thank You for the demonstration of it and that You loved us enough to send Your Son. Lord, create in us this morning a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Help us to be Your people. Fill us with the joy of our salvation and help us to rejoice together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.